Hello and welcome back. It's good to be back. Season 2 of the Healthcare India podcast with me, Dr. Vikram Venkateshwaran, coming to you live from the health tech capital of India, which is Bangalore. I'm tempted to say we are the health tech capital of the world, but I think we are jumping the gun here. I think we are a good, I would say, 5 to 7 years off from that reality. But it's good to be back. And what we've done is we've kind of altered the format of the show. We're going to look at 3 segments now. We're going to look at news, which is going to be the first half of what's happening in the world of healthcare. Then we're going to be looking at some interesting topic. And today I have a very interesting topic that I picked. And it's a topic that we have covered in the past on the Healthcare India website as well. And I've spoken a lot about it. And if you're on digital, if you're accessing the internet, I'm sure you've come across this. And the last we'll end with a fad, some kind of a health fad that you should not be looking at, right? Excellent. So here we go. So the big news, this month or these couple of weeks has been the launch the assessment of the success of the Ayushman Bharat program. For those of you who've been living under a rock or probably don't know what Ayushman Bharat is, it is probably the largest public healthcare insurance scheme that the government of India has launched. It covers roughly almost 50% of the population, which is below the poverty line. Your entire family covers about 50 crores, more than 50 crore people. And then it provides health insurance for a certain number of people. Now, all procedures considered under Ayushman Bharat are cashless, which is an amazing insight. And what is interesting is Ayushman Bharat, and we covered it in our website as well, promises to provide care where none exists. One of the interesting things that I've noticed in Ayushman Bharat program is, thanks to the program, a lot of hospitals, especially in tier 2, tier 3 cities, became NABH accredited, because the rates you get for an NABH accredited facility are much higher. So that is one of the immediate impacts on Ayushman Bharat. What has also entailed is, since 4 years since it's been launched, our spending on public health has not improved, unfortunately. It's probably gone down further as a percentage of GDP. I think we were around the 3.4% and we moved down to 3.2%. While the center's spending on public health has reduced, the state spending has increased. So that's probably a silver lining. But as Indians, we still spend, healthcare is funded by out-of-pocket expenses. Almost 63% of us pay for healthcare through our pocket. And which is a significantly higher number if you compare it to, say, countries in Europe, in the US, globally, almost 18% of healthcare expenses come out of the pocket, and India's as high as 63%. Now, while it is 63%, it is significantly lower than the 70 and 80% we used to see earlier. Remember, healthcare spending is a big cause of rural indebtedness as well, the first being daughter's marriage. I think Ayushman Bharat has really helped a certain segment of society to overcome this. Now, the rest of the people who are not covered by Ayushman Bharat are supposedly to be covered by private health insurance, and that's the way things work. And fortunately, in this case, at least the upper strata of society, a lot of people in urban areas are covered by private insurance, including me. What that leads is a very interesting penetration for the health insurance schemes, which is the private health insurance. So while Ayushman Bharat has kind of fortified the below poverty line population and providing them with health cover, the upper segments of society have all opted for private insurance, either through their employers or by themselves. And roughly today, health insurance covers almost 3 to 4% of the population. Now, the challenge is 50% of the population below the poverty line is covered by Ayushman Bharat. The top end is covered by, private health insurance. That leaves almost the 400 to 500 million people, 30% of the population that are in between. they're not too poor to be covered by Ayushman Bharat and don't consider themselves that well off that they pay private health insurance. And that is open. That segment is open. And that also means there's a huge opportunity for growth there. Also, you know, there are gaps that have opened up thanks to COVID-19. Health awareness is on a high. Health tech is on a high. I think Ayushman Bharat, though it's delivered a lot of its promises on procedures, still leaves a lot of door open for wellness. And I think that's where the new segment is going. It's going to be all wellness, preventive care and wellness. And I think health insurance has a very big role to play here, especially in that middle portion, you know, the 500 million people who are still not covered. The other interesting news that came up this month, which is actually a big relief to a lot of us who've been tracking this, is the reduction of infant mortality rate among girls. Now, infant mortality rate is called IMR. It's the number of live births, number of deaths per live birth as a statistic. So infant mortality rate is the number of infant deaths divided by every 1,000 live births. For those of you who are wondering what is IMR or infant mortality rate. And for a long time, India's infant mortality rate was skewed towards girl children. Many more girls used to succumb to infant mortality. And the reasons for this are beyond medical and they're more social. And you know what I'm talking about. But ever since, I think the government has gone on overdrive on schemes like Beti Bachao, Beti Padhao, and the overall change in our behavior as we view girls and their role in society, and strict monitoring by a lot of the public health administrators as well as government officials, I think the infant mortality rate among women has significantly come down. In certain states like Madhya Pradesh, Haryana, West Bengal, Gujarat, Kerala, Himachal Pradesh, there are more deaths among boys as infants as opposed to girls, which is not good anyway, but I'm just pointing it out. And in other states, the gap has significantly narrowed down. Now, in certain states, the IMR is almost the same. In about 5 to 6 states, there are more deaths among boys. Overall, our infant mortality stands at 28, still unacceptable, right? Still unacceptable. I'm not saying this is a great thing, but it's a significant achievement in our journey. And the key to reducing infant mortality, as you all know, is in the hands of our ASHA workers, Anganwadi workers, especially in the rural areas, and public health workers in the cities. Child care, mother care is very important. Getting the right, diagnostics done, focusing on diet, focusing on nutrition, getting the right scans at the right time, all significantly contribute to reducing this number. But this is a welcome news coming from India, and finally we are at a stage where we've kind of moved beyond the boy versus girl situation as far as infant mortality is concerned. The other statistic I'll be keen to notice is under 5 mortality. We haven't come down to that as yet. The other interesting news coming out of India is the number of healthcare entities where investments are being made. We saw a big change in some of the larger healthcare firms. We had news that a very large healthcare chain, a major investor, is trying to move out of it, and the healthcare chain is trying to raise debt. We also saw news that another large investment firm is moving out of a healthcare chain which is headquartered in Delhi. And you see a lot of changes happening as a lot of people who invested in the hospital chain some time ago are slowly moving their money out. And we will see this pattern for a while. And why do we see that? It's because, quite frankly, they've been invested for a while. They thought they'll get great returns from COVID. Some of them did, most of them didn't. And now that the pattern has passed and the requisite time has passed, they're trying to make new investments. Also, there is a significant change in the way the markets are working with the Fed in the US raising interest rates. We will probably see much more investment in the US and other markets as compared to India. And that leaves a big gap open for domestic players, domestic money financiers to move in and bolster our healthcare system. A lot of our healthcare system today is dependent on the private sector, because 63% of our investments, or at least the payments, are coming out of pocket, and private sector has a big role to play in healthcare. a lot of people feel that government should have never abandoned the private sector, the healthcare sector, as well as the education, but it is what it is. This is where we stand, and I think private sector has done a commendable job in improving our healthcare standards. I don't think that will change overnight, but at the same time, it is very important for India to continue to invest in these areas. The other interesting news this week, which is the last for today, is a research done by NCERT, the National Council for National Council for Education, Research and Training. And this research was done among school children in India on the issue of mental health. And the numbers are not very flattering. The survey was conducted in March 2002, and it covered students from class 6 to class 12. And they revealed that almost 45% of the students surveyed felt they were tired throughout the day, which is very, very sad to see. The youth of India, the cream of India, the most important people in India, the people who are supposed to drive India to the next level of growth, feeling tired. Almost 34% of them felt tearful. That means they were sad about something or the other. And 27% of them felt lonely. You know, we have a joke that it's always lonely at the top. Well, it's lonely when you're a kid. And that's sad because this is a new reality for us, right? This is the issue that we have to face head on. Mental wellness is a big issue. And those of us who shy away from it or don't want to talk about it, it's a big problem. You have to talk about it. You have to bring it out. Children are not machines. They are not supposed to go and cram in exams and get great marks. And to what end? Some of our best scientists, some of our brilliant thinkers, Nobel Prize winners, they've not been academically that brilliant. Not everybody can be number one. It's very difficult. It's lonely at the top. But unfortunately, it's lonely even in schools. And I think the challenge lies both with the schools and with the parents. There was a time when either you're a doctor or you're an engineer, otherwise your life is worthless. Today, that's not the case. In India, we have a lot of investments that have been made into applied sciences as opposed to pure sciences. I think applied management, applied economics, applied mathematics, I think these are areas that will grow because Indian domestic market is exploding. There are domestic consumption patterns that are difficult to understand. No world one global model can work everything. So I think this NCERT research sheds a light on some of the dangerous areas in our country, and this can become a potential problem. And we also have another big problem with the elderly, and I'm going to discuss that later. So that's what's happening in India this week. A lot of activity, a lot of energy. That's what I like about India. As we head into Diwali, which is going to be probably our greatest retail time, I think India is growing, India is shining, India is rocking. But I want to also talk about one interesting aspect. A few years ago, I received a request from a certain patient's parent on Twitter who wanted donation for his son because he was battling a condition in a hospital. It's covered on our website, and I think the donation platform was called Milap, and we had invested. And actually, I had reached out to my friends and colleagues and everybody through Healthcare India website and requested donations. I donated myself. Last couple of weeks, there have been very disturbing news coming. There was a report that was done in all major newspapers. It's on Mint, it's on Indian Express, as well as Times of India. A lot of these, crowdfunding, crowdsourcing requests for healthcare, whether it's Cato or Milap or any of the others, they have very little control over who's requesting the donation, for what purpose, and whether the request, money collected through this request, is being used in the right way. It seems a doctor from Mumbai or Delhi, it is, I keep forgetting, he was the first to blow his whistle on this, saying the procedure costs are listed there are way too higher, And if you go to any of these requests, it's typically is followed by a story as to what happened to the patient, the diagnosis, the prognosis. There are obviously letters written by the doctors, prescriptions that are attached. And somehow this doctor felt that the money being asked for is way too high as compared to what the procedure would cost in a normal hospital. In at least one case where the newspapers reported, the campaign ran way beyond the patient's death. The patient had died 6 months ago, the campaign ran, and the patient, the total expenses came to 30 to 50,000 odd, but the money collected for the entire campaign was close to 3 lakhs. So this is a very disturbing pattern on crowdsourcing. And this is a breaking story that Mint had covered, and I'd read it with a lot of interest because, you know, I keep getting these requests, and unless I know somebody personally, it's very difficult to ascertain whether the real issue is there or not. My recommendation to anybody listening to this is please verify before you donate. I know it takes time. It takes time to call up the hospital. Ideally, the hospital would not be able to share any personal details with you because they have to protect private patient privacy. In that case, you can talk to the doctor directly through the hospital and request his intervention. I would recommend also not donating unless you know the patient directly, because there is a clear case of misuse, and there is always other ways of raising money. And there's a government always intervenes in case of people below poverty line. So I think we have to be slightly careful here, because there is a good way of generating money for something which we think is a noble cause, but in reality might just be another scam. Okay, now for the fact of the day. This is an interesting one. There is a big feeling among a lot of these sophisticated, intelligent people, especially in cities, that drinking a lot of water is good for health. Well, okay, let me put it this way. Drinking the right amount of water is good. 7 to 8 glasses is what is recommended. I would recommend not drinking excess. See, what happens is when you do drink a lot of water, obviously you make many, many trips to the bathroom. But the most abused and overworked part of your body is your kidneys. They're constantly working, flushing out everything, washing out everything. And the more water you drink, the more they have to work. Kidneys, my friends, are very critical. They don't spoil easily, but when they do, there's very little you can do, right? I know a lot of diabetics who have finally, you know, passed away because their kidneys stopped working. Diabetes and insulin intolerance is something that affects kidneys as well. But in your case, I would not recommend drinking too much water and then suffering later. So that's the fact of the day. Maybe 7 to 8 glasses if you must, but not more. If you are active outdoors, please do carry water with you. Stay hydrated. But otherwise, don't keep sitting there drinking water. It's of no use. So that's it for me now. Welcome once again to season 2 of Healthcare India podcast. And this is Dr. Vikram Venkateshwaran signing off. If you want to get in touch with me, do mail me at drvikram@healthcare-in-india.net. You can reach out to me on Twitter at Dr. Vikram. I'll be very happy to take your suggestions, your comments. I had the opportunity to meet some of the people, some of the interesting listeners who had reached out to me. Last week, I also responded to a lot of your emails. So please keep them coming. Let me know if there's a topic we should cover. I'll be happy to cover them. Till then, stay safe. Have a great Dashera, right? Have a brilliant festival. Enjoy yourself with friends and families. And we'll be talking to you soon.